David said he needed to motivate himself every now and then, encourage himself. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that we want to be special so bad that when you're told from some guru in some spooky voice in some weird situation where music is playing, hypnotizing you, they're twinkling their fingers, they tell you, God has told me something about you and told you we have a purpose for your life. Let me tell you something, being that I'm a studier of people, okay, that's my kind of secular thing. Most of them know how to read a room. And most of the time, humans wear their issues on their sleeve, especially women. And therefore, it's not too much. I mean, 9 times out of 10, the reason why they get taken advantage of, and we have another series where we talk about cuffing season, you're blood in the water. And so you go seeking out, and again, legitimately looking for relief. And what ends up happening is this person who's masquerading as the church takes advantage of you. And then you blame the whole church, and therefore you blame God. Let me go ahead and tell you, they're not a part of God's church. They are the counterfeit. Because Tanika's right, when Jesus came, he came to deal with the penalty and the power of sin. The power is that sin may not have no more dominion over you. That means now that you have a choice. When you come to Christ, you have a choice between dealing with the old man and the new man. And again, let's be honest, a lot of us have had the old man longer than the new man. Now, don't tell me about when you joined church and you was 13 and 12 and all that stuff. Okay, and you did everything everybody else did. All right, I'm going to be 60. All right, so, you know, I had friends in church and I went to church for a minute, and yeah, we did everything everybody else did. Okay, there's a fortunate few, the remnant, who would live a pretty decent life at 13 to older. Don't tell me about your church history. You know, when you ask people about their church history, what they talk about is their relationship to the physical building or the historical narrative of the relatives that were in church. Well, how you know you say, well, my dad was this, my mom was this, and all this, that, and the other. That has nothing to do with the question I asked you. And therein lies the problem. Man does not want to admit he's a sinner, and therefore he doesn't need a savior. If it's just a low-hanging fruit, you drink too much, you do too much drugs, you fornicate, that kind of thing, that's the fruit of your sin. The root of your sin is your heart. The root of your sin is your heart. And Jesus died to lay the axe at the root. At the root. The penalty. There's no more condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:1 says, because of what he's done for us, we have access. We have access. And what you're told on a general basis is, in some of these churches, not all, but the fake ones, that your access is through that man and that woman standing up there, twinkle-toeing and mystifying you, and that you have to obey them and do what they say. They're putting you in bondage. I am a servant of my people. And if I'm not serving them, and I'm their guide, not their God, they don't need to worship me. Honoring me is learning the teachings that take them closer to Christ. The one that can really, through the words, properly explaining the word of God, and taking them closer to Christ and letting their Lord, their God, deal with them through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's my job. My job is to teach and preach my way out of them needing me and them wanting to be around me. Okay? My job is not to stay on top. My job is to look at everybody as someone that could bring somebody to the ministry. Some of you may look at that. That's foreign. Yeah, but that's biblical. The church is not a corporation. There is no CEO. God, Jesus is the head of the church, and we are his body. And let me tell you something else. The one thing that they use to bind you, to keep you in this constant battle of evil, is use the Old Testament. The bondage of the law in the Old Testament. You, Israel, is not the church. It can't be. Just a simple fact. If we are a new creation, then we can't be Israel. Not Israel proper, no. And have you ever thought about it like this, you guys? Those who know the Bible. God destroyed the temple twice, right? Jesus predicted it, and Nebuchadnezzar did it, okay? When God wanted to build a house, he had specific specifications, down to the last nail. When God wanted to build an ark of safety, he had specific specifications down to the last hinge, and he destroyed it because it became rotten. The New Testament says in the epistles that God wants to be in a house that's not made by hands. He says, now you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So let me get this straight. And let me ask a question. And I want you to think about it before you get all upset. When God wants to build something, he's very specific. And when God says he puts the Holy Spirit in people and we're the temple, then the church is not the building. So what are all these big, purity, giant buildings? These are monuments to men. They are monuments to men. And it takes a lot of money to keep that facility running. Just think about it. The first churches, they didn't have the buildings that we have. They just met and they worshiped God and they were able to help people. See, we get so caught up in the brand names and looking at the campuses and stuff. But for the amount of money that it takes to run the campus, do you realize how many people they could help if they just had something real simple? But they want to attract the people, so they got to build castles. So you got to build monuments so the people can see. But faith doesn't come by seeing. Faith comes by hearing. Faith doesn't come by somebody wearing a funny little robe, which every Protestant thing that most churches do to have the robes. And, you know, some of them wear the robes and wear the beanies and, you know, all the artifacts on their neck and all that stuff to portray a holiness. And you just read the scriptures. They just like they are modern day Pharisees. They want to be seen. They want to be in the chief seats. They never want to serve. They want to be served. You have this anniversary, that anniversary, and that's part of the darkness. Because it focuses on the person and not the personhood of Christ. And that's the sad part. But that's the great part, because you know what? As the world continues to get dark, as the Bible says, then that means the light of the true church is going to shine brighter. It's going to shine even brighter. With all the darkness that's going around, I don't give up. I have hope, because I understand that if you're ever in a dark room, a match can light it up. But if a room is kind of lit here, kind of lit there, and there's areas of shade and shadow, you may come in with the light. And it takes a minute for your light to shine amongst so much distortion. But when it's at the darkness, that's when the light shines. And the Bible says men are full of trouble as sparks fly upward. That's true. You know, I still am in the growing phase. I'm still being changed into his image. And it's called the sanctification process. And again, what we do is confuse the salvation with the sanctification. Salvation is the one-time act on a sin-sick soul by a sovereign God. Okay? He dealt with the penalty. He dealt with the power. But sin is still here. You have a battle. The biggest battle is not the outside of you. The biggest battle is inside of you. Where you have two natures warring against each other. Your nature and the nature of the new creation. And you have to, just like you grew the old nature to be what it is, you have to start growing the new nature to combat it, to lean on it, to dominate it. And that's an act of your will. That's an act of your will. And you can decide how much of God, how much of the light you want to walk in today, how much of the light you want to give out today. That's a choice that you make. But again, let's start praying and asking God for mercy. And I look at the next person and say, they don't deserve to live. God made laws to punish the wicked. That's the Bible says. But we need to be more gracious, because if we're going to judge, the Bible says to judge a righteous judgment, you start with yourself. And therefore, when I start with myself, I need mercy. I need the mercy. I need the mercy and the love of God in my life. And the more I understand the love, not the law, the law is holy. The more I stand the love, the more I appreciate what he's done. And that helps me consider others more significant than myself. Think about it. They have all kind of laws right now, all in the books. They're trying to legislate each other. And the biggest divide is politics. The biggest divide is politics. One side or the other, fighting the other. Two people saying they're looking out for the nation, and neither one is. And we go through this year after year after year, and they try to legislate us into loving each other. As you see, thousands of laws on the book, and we still can't love each other. So the problem is not the law. The law actually proves, the fact that they have to have it proves that we can't do it. I did an experiment one time on my lawn. I never had a sign. Don't, as soon as I put the sign out, don't walk on the grass, guess what? Everybody started walking on the grass. Because we're by our innate nature to be lawbreakers. And that's why we need a savior. That's why you need a savior. You need a savior because you're a sinner. And sinners have a punishment awaiting them. You're condemned already. You don't have to do anything else. You know. But that takes humility, right? That takes you to admit that you're not as good as you think. That takes you to admit that while everybody else is looking at you, that you're so great, you're so good, you're not as good as you think. And that's why a lot of people who have a lot of wealth, they're miserable because the people are looking at them and praising them and pushing them up on a pedestal. And on the inside, they know how rotten they are. They know how unsatisfied. They know that they've achieved everything the world says, and they're still missing something. That's the peace that comes with the soul that's saved. There is a peace to be obtained. And the guru tells you, hey, God has a purpose for your life and God has a plan for your life. And I agree with you. I agree with that. But watch this. When we normally hear that in the Western civilization, we think of something great and grand. We think of something that's going to put us in lights. We think of something that's going to get us known. That's why I got all these people writing books, and they just repetitive books. Okay, the big thing now with ministers and pastors and teachers, everybody got a book, okay? And most of them aren't worth the paper that they written on, all right? And they falling for the scam of I'm an Amazon bestseller. And anybody that understands technology know that that's not that big of a deal, okay? When you make the New York Times bestseller, then you sold some books, all right? So what you do is buy into this marketing scheme to make yourself feel good because you got a book, you got a ministry and all this, that, and the other, and you're going to tell people that God has a purpose for your life. Question for you. What if God's purpose for your life is just to be a good father? What if God's purpose for your life is just to be a good husband? What if God's purpose for your life is to, no matter where your lot is in life, that you're going to be the best and representative ambassador for Christ where you're at, and that's your purpose? There is no grandiose thing for you. There is the day-to-day, mundane, living out your life for the Lord, with your family, with your friends, your people influence, and that's his plan. And while you're searching for big, better, and best, he's saying, this is the plan I have for your life. And the issue is most people can't accept that because we're told we have to have the great. Do you know the gospel was not furthered along by these great men? These great men in the scripture had an amazing assignment, an amazing thing. But you know, it's just on everyday people that you never know of. The ones that Paul writes about in his epistles, these list of names, they're there, but they are the ones who carried on. And it's the ones who carry on their day-to-day life, living out their lives, considering others more significant than yourself, giving their enemy a cup of water, sitting down with children and trying to talk to them about the virtues of doing good, helping a child with his math problem. Those are the things that we should be doing, not chasing society. The gospel's never been relative to society. Jesus was anti-religion and anti-society culture at the time. The culture, the gospel has always been against culture. And it's always been above culture. Because no matter what culture says, you still need a savior. No matter how many inventions that they have, you still need a savior. And now we have AI, which is a blessing, and it's going to be a curse. And it could help the world, but it's also going to hurt the world. Because it's going to create, like they say, when it starts thinking for itself completely, it's going to create a being that has no soul, that has no conscience. Think about it. It will decide on X and O's, maybe who lives and who dies, with no consideration, no mercy, only survival. Is that advancement or is that going backwards? The man's heart. Search your heart. Ask yourself. When I got saved, God let me know, and I was relatively good and had resources, and I called myself doing good to people, but I was arrogant, ignorant, and I used to mock God. And that wasn't it. I was the one standing in a party where everybody was drinking and smoking and having a good time, but I was empty. I had reached what I thought what everybody that what we supposed to do, and I was empty. Because it was all superficial. I had no peace. I spent more time trying to guard what I had than to give it away. And I was always worried about who's my real friend and who's not my friend. Who can I trust? Who's in it for just for the money? And it all changed one fateful day when God blessed me to go to the penitentiary for 366 days and meet a young man named Nicholas Perez, who was at least 10 years, 10 to 15 years younger than me. And he gave me the true gospel. That was 14 years ago. So I'm necessarily coming to this late, but I know the difference. See, I know the difference. I'm not churched, I'm saved. I'm saved. And for that love that was shed abroad, that was shed, the blood that was shed on the cross, and now he shed that love going to the cross abroad in my heart, I want others to know the true and living God. I want others to know that Jesus does save. I want others to know that a gospel that can't be preached everywhere is not a gospel. How are you going to preach the prosperity gospel in a place where they don't have any shoes? You're gonna roll up in a nice sports car, and they don't have any shoes to come to church. That can't be the gospel. That's another gospel. And Paul says, if you preach any other gospel than the one we gave you, let you be accursed. There's a lot of churches that are cursed because they preach that wealth, health gospel. If God wanted everybody wealthy, healthy, and happy, I have one question for you. We know, and you get this out of scripture, out of one couple of passages. What happened to Paul? What happened to John the Baptist? What happened to James the Just? What happened to James the Minor? What happened to Peter? What happened to John? These were men of God. What did Jesus say? You've killed all my prophets. So where do we get this from? Look how David ended up dying. Where did we get this from? We get it from our own imagination, and we get it from the crooks. And those who are taking our resources and telling us, if you just keep sowing the seed, you will have this. You're chasing mammon. The Bible says content is great gain. I'm not telling you not to go out and strive to get your education and all that stuff. I'm not telling you that. What I'm telling you is that get rich quick lottery spin the wheel thing that they're doing to you. It's not the gospel. And then when you finally wake up, you again, now we're back full circle. You mad at God. You mad at the church. Don't be mad at the church. Some hustlers just got over on you. Look at them. But you know what? You're so scared of them that you'll take that passage of don't put your word on the man or woman of God. Don't touch thou anointed dude. That's out of context. David was trying to kill. David could have killed him. And David understood that it wasn't his time to take his place. The Bible says we have the right to point out wrongdoing when we see it. And for you, all those of you that are hypnotized by these so-called churches that are not churches of God at all, my heart goes out to you. Because you know deep down inside you're getting played. I call it the wimpy church. They tell you to sow a seed today and you get your check in the mail. You know how Wimpy said, give me a hamburger today and I gladly pay you on Tuesday? That's what you're hearing. You're going to these conferences. You spend a lot of money. And the only person walking out of there with all the money is the people throwing on the conference. You're walking out thinking, oh, I bought the tape. I bought the class and I'm going to go do it. Don't you know them gurus know that 99% of people that buy that tape will not do everything in the tape or the series or the class, and they will have to come back and get and pay some more to get and get more of it, and they still won't do it. I'm not saying it doesn't work for everybody, but think about it. You have a better chance of winning the lottery, which is real, than understanding that they don't have a plan for you. God has a plan for you. And God, if you're a God, God can talk to you. Now, can some people come along and confirm the plan? Of course they can. And you'll see it as you walk it out. Your gift will make, God's gift in you will make room for you, but God has to build your character to carry the gift, because the gift is given out without repentance. And if your character is not built to carry the gift, you will wreck people. And that's what we have. We have a lot of gifted people who are wrecking other people's lives because they have no character. That's that dark part. They could tell you, but they live in a whole different life. That's the hypocrites that people see. And it's people who are not saved that see the hypocrisy. They see the hypocrisy. And the hypocrisy is, I'm going to tell you to do something I'm doing and not tell you that it's, I'm struggling with it too. See, if the church would just admit we're just normal people struggling like everybody else, and that we fall short daily, truly, and I'm not better than you. Matter of fact, I'm worse than you, but I'm still trying. I'm still struggling. I'm still, God is still working on me. And see, what my hope is, and then what the word says, he's guaranteed to complete the work that he started in me. That's what I lean on. That's what I hang on to. I don't hang on to myself and my own abilities. Oh. I hang on his ability to save and to sanctify. And no matter where you at in the sanctification process, whether you're just getting started or you were sanctified about to go to glory, guess what? Whatever distance you are not to him, absent from the body, present with the Lord, you still need grace. No matter how much I know, I still need grace. No matter how much I know, I come to God like a little child. Not childish, like a little child. Look at him and say how awesome he is. When I look at the sun and the moon and the stars and how they are put together, that's God. Romans chapter 1 tells us that, you know, that man didn't worship God as God, didn't give thanks to God, didn't honor him as God, started worshiping the animals and the creatures, the creation, more than the creator who was blessed forever. Amen. Burning sage and all this stuff. Let me ask you, some smart people, something. You actually think burning some wheat, some kind of herb scares Satan? I want you to meditate on that. Really? You actually believe that some smoke from you burning herbs gonna stop the most evil creation of them all? When he's the prince of the power of the air. If that was the case, why didn't Jesus, when he was being tempted by Satan, why did he just light up some sage and chase him away? No, he ran him away with the word of God, the truth. You shall not tempt thy God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's how you deal with evil, with the truth. And we need to be dispensers of truth, mercy, and we need to do it all in the unbelief of love. I don't consider you. We look at no man after the flesh. We look at them according to the spirit. And I'm not looking at you trying to get, I'm looking at you as, if you're saved, as a saint that needs to be encouraged. And if you're not saved, as a person that needs to be saved. That's all. And if we can get through this together, because we're a body and we all are struggling, every saint, don't ever look at a saint and think that they've arrived, because, you know, we still got this old nature in us and that might puff us up. But the true saints of God will tell you, when you approach them and you talk about how gifted they are and how special they are, they will tell you it's truly a blessing of God and the mercies of God that you see any good in me, because whatever good you see in me is him. It's him living out his life through me. And all I'm just doing is submitting to his will. So, yeah. So, T, what do you have to say? I you know I can go on this forever.
I know you can, Pastor Jim. I know you can, Pastor Jim. So, I'm going to swing it back to what you were talking about, the churches. And one thing that Pastor Jay mentioned was the churches that seem like, act like, they're the real deal. Those are the apostates that Pastor Jay was mentioning. They can look, they can act, they can sound like. But you have to sit in a church, and if you don't know your word, you don't know what you're listening and looking for. And I can give you some experiences for me, and I'm searching for a home church now. And I've sat in two different churches. And I sit in the back so I can observe and I can listen to what is being taught. So you can just listen and hear. And one church I sat in, I just heard the pastor start going off about all types of money and he wanted a big house. I knew then that was a mini prosperity teaching church. I don't want to be in that. So when we say we are caught up, it's very true, and I knew I was caught up for a long time because I did not have the understanding of the word. And that's one of the things that also Pastor Jay speaks about, biblical illiteracy. You don't know the word, therefore you don't know what you're looking for. if you don't know the word, how can you compare what you're being taught in a service to what the word says? If you don't know your word, you don't know if they're twisting the gospel. You could read the word right there in front and you have no idea, but you'd have to sit back and understand they took that out of context. That's not what that means. Not them saying over here, let's go and tithe and sow a seed, when the seed is the word of God and it's not money. But in order for you to understand that, you would have to learn that, be taught that, and understand that that was for a different time. And people just take stuff, like Pastor Jay said, they mush things together, and it is for control. It is to keep you controlled and keep you mind zombied into falling after them. So one of the things that, while I'm talking about this, is it always puts me in the defense of, it's not God that's doing this. It is the people. These apostate churches know it. So when you have people that say, and the word talks about it too in Matthew 7, 21, 23. I'll read it real quick. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will see to me that day, say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, I want to pause for a second with that whole passage. I never wanted to hear that, because to me, that's one of the scariest verses and passages in the Bible. There's more, but that one to me hits and strikes, because there are some believers that think, and I'm going to say believers, that think they're going to heaven. And that means they're really not believers, because they're doing all kinds of things. They're prophesying and doing stuff, but God knows and Jesus knows their intention. Your heart is not from me. You're doing this stuff to get some kind of fame. You're doing this stuff to show off. You don't have my intention. You're not going to do the Great Commission. You're not trying to get souls saved. Yeah, you called my name. Yeah, you cast out demons. Yeah, you did a work in my name, but I don't know you. I don't know anything about you. Depart from me. And you know where they're going? They're going to hell. That's where they're going. There's no purgatory. There's no middle of the road. There's no straddle the fence. And Jesus is like, hey, you know what? You're going to hang out here in the middle until I figure out. No, there's only two ways to go. It's hot or cold, left or right. You're either for Jesus or you're not. Plain and simple. So if you believe, then you're for Jesus, and you have understood what God has stated, that Jesus Christ is the true and living Son of God, and that God raised him from the dead, and you can be saved. But if you don't believe, you, like the word has said, you're condemned already. It doesn't matter how many nice things you do. It doesn't matter how many philanthropic things you do. Evil people can do philanthropic things. Axe murderers can go and give millions of dollars to charities and orphans and all that stuff. That's wonderful, fine, great. But their intention of their heart has nothing to do with God. They're far off away from God. So when men do certain things, and I'm talking about men as humanity, when people do certain things, that's not always godly. That's not always good and godly. People can do all kinds of stuff. You see people out here with money, doesn't mean that they're saved. They just have a lot of money and throw it out to people that need it. Okay, but where is their heart in this? That's when I say, I have to always examine myself as well to make sure that I'm in the body. I always look at myself first. I'm not pointing my fingers at other people. Me, am I doing my part? Am I walking the way God would have me to walk? Am I concerned about others more than myself? Or am I on this me-ism? And my tea drink is all about me. It's all about what I want to do. Is this removing God? Because where's my heart? I need to get back into my word and get back and have my face really seeking the Lord. And we need to seek him as he can be found while there's a time frame. God has his own time frame, and everything will come to a head eventually. But while you have the time and you have the breath, there is a choice you have to make. Choose this day whom you will serve. You're making a choice, whether you know it or not. When you don't make a choice, you made a choice. Say you don't want to make a choice, you made a choice. You don't have to continue to say, well, I don't know. You do. So when we base on the reality of the thing, there are some things that people deal with, and we need to be honest. There's a thing, we need to be honest. And that's the part. When you say men prefer darkness rather than light, and the word says that, there's an honesty to that. God doesn't operate in lies. God doesn't operate in deception, betrayal, all of that is not God. So if someone's manipulating you, manipulation is witchcraft. Just know that from the top. There would be no manipulation if it is something that is truly from God. There's no manipulation. Someone could come into you honestly and tell you whatever they're asking for. Be honest. When we have to hide and we say we can't talk to people, and because, like Pastor Jay was saying, how people take that passage, say, speak not against the thou anointed or whatever, that's not right. That's not okay. When someone is doing wrong, you need to call it out, point blank, period. When they're doing wrong, you can say it in love, but say, listen, this is wrong. This is wrong what you're doing, and I don't agree. I don't agree, and I don't have to. And instead, people don't want to hear that. They want to do something else. And God always has a timing for something. And because some people do not want to wait on the way God does stuff, because God's timing is not like ours, His timing is when He wants to do things. And Pastor Jay and I have another series that we did about witchcraft. And just listening to the people that said, you know, I got tired of waiting on God. So I decided to do what? Go into witchcraft. Because I'm going to go with this entity over here, these demons, these other entities, these other deities. And I'm going to go get mine here and now. Not knowing what they have to deal with. Just because God doesn't grant you all the desires of your heart. And people take that out of scripture too. Because is what you desire, is it lining up with what God wants? Because if it's not about saving souls and advancing the kingdom, then what are we doing? The Great Commission is to go into all the world. Not to go and say, I'm happy, healthy, wealthy, and I'm getting mine over here in the Western culture of society. What does that, what we do here in the Western side, can it not be all around? No. And Pastor Jay always mentions, this book is a Middle Eastern book. It comes from that side of the world. It's to be everywhere. It cannot just be in America and over in Europe. It must be spread everywhere. So if I say something to you, and I say, just like I read to you, the same word that I'm talking here in this passage should be the same passage that is in Afghanistan, the same passage that you share over there in Cuba, the same passage you share in Indonesia. There is not a different gospel. There's the one. Now, if you hear other gospels, well, T. Drake said this is the gospel, this one's preaching that, well, then you know that's not correct. And for some of us, we need to stop listening to what people say and start remembering what God says and go and seek the word for yourself. And I'm going to let Pastor Jay share it here.
Yeah. You know, if you paid an attention, there's a couple of, and again, quit seeking out them star pastors, because that's what you're seeking out, the star. You're not seeking out Jesus, you're seeking out the star. And again, some are good, some are bad. You know, there's bad small churches, bad medium churches. You know, it's what they're teaching. If people get naturally saved and not pushed into this clawing to get to the top or giving their resources to get to the top. But it's kind of interesting to me because America is unique, because we are transporting this false gospel. And I say we, them, are transporting this false gospel all over the world. All over the world. This Americanized gospel. And it's all about health, wealth, and prosperity. With material things, okay? You take the scripture of, what the Bible says, I want you to prosper as your soul prospers. See? Okay. You know how in Star Trek, Spock says, he does a little finger thing, and he says, live long and prosper. That's what that is. That's a greeting. That's a salutation. That's not a prescription. What we do is take descriptions. The Bible's full of poetry and descriptions and prescriptions, and it tells us what to do. And what we'll do is we'll take that and say, see, no, that's like a greeting. That's like Spock, live long and prosper. I wish you to prosper as your soul prospers. Can't you see that? No, because you've been told that that's a prescription. That's not a prescription. That's a description. That's a hello, goodbye. You know? And it lets you know that people are so lost and so invested in their darkness. You had a couple of these star preachers come out, Benny Hinn, Creflo Dollar, Joyce Myers, and some of them may be your favorite, okay? And some others actually come out and say, I've been teaching you wrong all these years. And you would think there'll be a mass exodus from their ministry. All the books they sold and all the money they made. Well, you know, I've been kind of kind of heavy-handed. No, this is not horseshoes. You don't get to get close. You either tell them the truth or you tell them a lie. Okay? So they admit they've been lying to you for years. But you're so invested, you can't let go now. Because your ego won't let you say, you know what? They've told me they've been getting over on me. Your street smarts are just, and you know, that's a whole other thing where it's saints. God gave, let people, street smart people join the church, because that's why he had Matthew, tax collector, and Zacchaeus, him, join the church, because they understood some things. You know, you bring that talent to the church, and so the church could be guarded. But they told you they were doing wrong. And they still got millions of followers. That's how drunk we are on the material world of prosperity. Everybody wants to be a millionaire. And we're in America, we're stuck on the cult. Think about it. The Sci-Fi Channel used to show science fiction. It doesn't show nothing but spiritual stuff, not demon stuff, chasing ghosts. And every mainstream channel has some kind of demonic ghost chasing show, because that's what America wants. It wants the demonic. It's opening up the demonic. The people are having seances day in, day out. It's not a rarity anymore. It's becoming the norm in America. And you might say, well, what should we do? Not be afraid. Because we have the light. I don't wish ill on Joyce Myers and them. I will hope they repent. The good gesture would have been is, I'm going to tell you that I've done wrong. Don't buy my books no more. You know what? I'm going to give back some of the money. But you know that they're not going to go that far. And with Benny Hinn, he said he was going to ask you for any more money, but he had somebody else do it. You see, so, you know, the answer is the word of God. The answer is getting into a true biblical teaching church. The answer is to, let me give you some advice. You go to a service, you got some issues in your life. You go to a service, you get all emotional, you're crying and snotting, and the preacher done touched your heart because he done looked at your face, especially for you ladies, and he can see there's something. And normally with women, it's either their children, their relationships, their job, the relationships on their job, the relationship with their family. That's the realm in which they deal. And depending on what they say at the moment and how you react and your facial expression, they pick it up and nod you the target. I've seen it happen to several ladies at our church when we actually went to other services, where this one lady, she's always the target. They always call her up to try to lay hands on her and push her down and all that good stuff. And that's just theatrics. I've seen it so much. I've seen a lady pushed on the ground and she laid there so long, the preacher forgot about her. She started looking to the left and the right, like, should I get up? Okay? Y'all know that foolishness goes on. That's not where you need to belong. And don't join the church because of an emotional sermon that pricks your emotion. Go to the Bible study, and my rule of thumb is sit and watch and participate with them for a year. Because if they pressure you to join because they've seen you a whole bunch of times, be weary of that. They should let you sit. Once you tell them, I just want to sit, it should be okay. And you should be able to participate in their outreach and all of that. And then their teaching. Go to the Bible study. Are they teaching line by line and verse by verse? Or they're jumping around everywhere and only teaching subject matters? Not allowing, you know, I tell people all the time, you don't have to worry about love. Just keep reading. You're going to get to some passages about love. And so that's the subject you teach out of what the Word of God is teaching. You don't have to jump around and proof text yourself into that. And if you teach line by line and verse by verse, people, and book by book, people will begin to grow. I'm blessed to serve a good congregation whose testimony is simply this. People have been in church all their life. They said they've learned more in 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years than they've learned their entire life at church, because you learn like you learned in school. Line by line, verse by verse. See Dick run, see Jane run. See Dick and Jane run. Oh, see Dick, Jane, and Spot run. You just keep going and building upon the foundation of Scripture. Because he said, my word is spirit. And you've been taught to chase this spirit outside of the spirit of the word of God. You just want to be told so you can avoid. You're going back to Adam. You want to be told so you can avoid the consequences of your decisions of not studying the word yourself and learning the truth. So you can blame it on the person that's abusing you. You want to blame them. But you're culpable too, because you kept supporting them. You kept going there. You kept wanting what they couldn't give you anyway. So you don't get to escape and say, I went to a bad church and that's a bad pastor. No, the minute that you understand that that's a rat hole, you need to pull yourself out. You need to not support that. That's all. They wouldn't be around unless people supported it. You know, if there's a good local church that's doing some good work in your community, they'll never get on television. And if you're gifted as you say you are, why not go somewhere where your gift can be magnified and used for the kingdom? But no, you want to be in lights. I get it. I get it. I get it. There's the church and there's the say. And churched with the ED, the rituals, the rites, the regulations, the spinning around, all that stuff, standing in a certain way, clapping at a certain time, like mindless robots. And then there's the freedom of Christ. And I've noticed people, normally when people come out of the church situation and you give them freedom, just like anything else, they don't know what to do with it. They are scared of it. Tell me this, tell me that. And when I tell a person, I trust the Holy Spirit in you, they don't know what to do. I'm like, you study, you learn, you follow the lessons. I trust the Holy Spirit in you. What saith the Lord with you and the word? You tell me. But they're so used to old. They're so used to church being a place and not the people. The church is wherever the people are, though, of God. You are as ambassadors. Ambassadors are put in foreign lands. You are, it's wherever you are. Wherever two or three are. And you just, and you're the church. So how much bigger building do you need? How much a monument to man do you need? God doesn't need a building. The building he made, he destroyed. When did you think about this? You, let's say you got 100 members and you had a nice facility, not exuberant. Whereas you can feed 100 people in there and you can teach them, you can love on them. It can be provided for them. It's not a place where a whole bunch of secret rooms and all that stuff where the debauchery goes on, trust me, and it does, because, again, I was fortunate to come up when I started under somebody who showed me all this behind-the-scenes stuff. And you'd be surprised what the men of God talk about when they get behind in the bishop's office. It would make you run away. But I digress. But I'm just telling you, there is a true church. It's the people who love God and who want to serve other people. That's what you look for. And they get satisfaction in watching other people grow. They get satisfaction as a pastor. My job is to see the gift in you and encourage you, admonish you, correct you if needed, and push you in that so you can benefit the body and the kingdom. And if by chance that thing that's in you is supercharged and you can see and I can see that you can break away, is to give you the blessing and the finances and the resources to go out and start another work. Yes, I love it when somebody begins to start another work. It could be something simple as a Bible study. It's not about me. It's about everybody else. It's not about my anniversary. It's not about my birthday. It's not about none of that stuff. It's about the people. And the Bible says if you want to be a great servant, you want to be a great leader, you want to be in front, you have to be a great servant of all, a slave to all. Is that your leader? A slave to you? Does he want to be served and sit in the big fat chair with the big throne? See, think about how churches, they get the big throne up there. They're not no king. They're supposed to be a servant. The Bible says, Jesus even said, when you come into a banquet, don't go to the front. Sit back and let the person who's giving the banquet bring you forward. Where's that done? No, they immediately go into the chief seats. Your gift will make room for you if you're gifted. And truly gifted people are hated by the religious people. They're hated by the prosperity people because they don't want to be exposed. Because men prefer darkness rather than light because they're deep. All right, T. You know, we could talk again all day.
Well, I don't know if you can do it today, but if you want real quick, go ahead and just give everybody where they can find you before your time goes up.
Yeah, okay, well, I can be found everywhere. You can put in your search engine, hashtag DRJCS2, hashtag DRJCS2, and Walking Truth Radio Network. You can put that in your search engine. We're on YouTube. We're on Facebook. Walk _ Truth on Instagram. I do an encouraging word. I have lessons. I have all our sermons, our Sunday services. We have shorts. So, and we have the podcast the same way. Your podcast, every platform, Walker Truth Radio Network with Dr. James Sutton. And we can be found everywhere. And of course, me and T are partners, so you can find our Monday morning conversations same way on both our platforms. So yeah, Walker Truth Radio Network with Dr. James Sutton, Walker Truth Radio Network, Facebook, Walker Truth Christian.
Hey, Pastor Jay, if you're there, come back up. So hopefully he'll be able to come back up. So I hope you guys have been enjoying this conversation with Pastor Jay and myself, T. Drake, here. So I just wanted to make sure that he was able to share, because, of course, you guys know how this goes. So hang on a second. We'll let him come back so he can finish telling you what he was telling you.
Okay, well, I guess I'm back.
You're back.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can find me almost anywhere. Just, like I say, type in Walker Truth Radio Network. And, again, it's a simple way. If you type in the hashtag DR, D as in David, R as in Robert, J as in James, C as in Cat, S as in Sam, and the number 2, it'll pull up everything that we do. And we're located in St. Louis, Missouri. Our church is Walker Truth Christian Fellowship Church, and we're a loving church, I just love God's people, and I love teaching the Word of God. So you can get in contact with me through Instagram, not so much Instagram. You can try it there, but if you want to contact me, you can email me at witmin@yahoo.com. So you can get in touch with me there, or you can get in touch with me on WhatsApp. 314-224-0365. So that's the one you can get in touch with me.
All right, Pastor Jay, well, you're still here, so I'm going to just share while you're here, because you still have new time. So on Saturdays, we do a clubhouse. Last Saturday, the only reason why we're doing this here, because last Saturday on our clubhouse, it didn't record for whatever reason. I was having some issues. But every Saturday, unless there's a reason why we're not there, like we took a whole month off in April, but every Saturday we're there, and it might be myself alone, it could be Pastor Jay, could be myself, Dr. K, or whomever is there. Every Saturday we're there at 4 p.m., 6 p.m. CST, 7 p.m. EST, and we have different topics that we speak about, just like we did today here. So there, of course, you guys know you're able to come up and share and speak. So if you want to do that, you're more than welcome to do that. And it's under the Renew and Refresh house. And those are where the rooms come from. And there is a WhatsApp community chat that goes along with that. So if you want to be a part of that, you want to be a member of that, there's a wait list. You just sign up that way, and you can be in contact with us in that regard as well. And Pastor Jay sometimes is there, and he can share, and you can ask him questions. Hey, I heard what you were saying with T. Drake on that Wisdom platform. I disagree. Pastor Jay loves controversy, and he loves to kind of verbally spar. So if you are one that says, listen, you said that whole thing about God starting with me, why doesn't God go ahead and clean up the whole world and take care of this? So if you're one of those people that want to actually really deal with that particular thought of thinking, because he expressed it, but you want to go a little deeper with that, you want to dig a little deeper, like his Bible study is called Dig Deeper Bible Study. If you want to dig a little deeper with him and have some really theological thing, like, how do you say that, Pastor Jay? How do you stand on that premise? Because I disagree. Man, this is the man that you want to talk to. Man, ask him your questions and go definitely ask. So in Clubhouse, that's a place where you can do that in person. It's a safe space as well. The rooms are recorded. Well, this one wasn't, but most of the time they're recorded when they can be. So I hope that you will come over and ask him questions, as well as follow his YouTube pages, as he's just expressed, and just keep him in prayer. And also, for all those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we definitely want you to know that you are still loved. And if you want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a way to do that. Don't think that you've been so evil, so awful, that there's no place for you, that God can't remove your sin, that God is not doing that, that Jesus didn't die for that sin. He died for your sin. He truly did. So if you want to know, what must I do to be saved, then you know that you need to believe in your heart and understand that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and understand that He is the true and living Son of God. And if you believe that and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that you can be saved, you can be. But you have to make that decision. It is not going to be forced on you. Nobody's going to dictate it to you. You have to go and make that decision for yourself, and then you can be saved. So with that, I'm just going to say thank you, Pastor Jay, for coming here. If you guys have questions that you want to ask him, you're more than welcome to reach out to him. He did leave you his number. You can also reach him on all those different platforms. Reach out to him, ask him questions. If something's still rolling in your mind, that we can come back and do some more when Pastor Jay has more time. But right now, I'm going to let him go because I know he's got things to do. I want you guys to remember to be blessed, motivated, always inspired to do what the Lord lays on your heart. And Pastor Jay, I know you have your tagline too. You want to share it?
I always want you to be encouraged, blessed, and at peace, and remember, walk in the truth of the Lord.
All right. So with that, you guys, thank you guys for tuning in. I see you guys in here. I just want to say a quick shout out. Thank you to Truly Julie for being here. Mark Childs, A Western Philosophy for Shauna. Thank you, Hakeem. I thank you for being here. Martha, Chuck, Nikita, all you guys, John, Brandy, and Mummy, and Miss Darlene for coming up and speaking earlier. If I did not address you, I apologize. But if you guys want to come back and you guys want to hear more from Pastor Jay, let me know in the chat. Let me know if you enjoyed what you heard. And if you hear these talks later, please know that he is available, and I'll probably be bringing him back often. So you guys have an amazing day, and take care. And I'll let Pastor Jay sign us out.
Guys, you know, thank you guys for listening. And again, you know, what I said in love. And I just want you to understand, we're all in this together, and we'll all get to the other side together if we learn how to love each other and be concerned about each other's well-being, not only physically, but spiritually also. So I just thank you guys for even tolerating me. You know, Tika calls me the hammer sometimes, and I have to be. But remember, I just want what I believe the scripture says is the best for you. And I want you to have that peace that surpasses all understanding. So with that, again, graciously, thank you for having me, T. I'll be back. I got, she got me on wisdom. So I'll do some stuff. And please go out, check out our YouTube channel. And we'll just go from there.
Okay. Thank you. Pastor Jay, hang on 1 second. Julie, I saw in the chat you had a question. So do you have a question for Pastor Jay? Because I saw you wrote something about meaning. Did you want to try and elaborate? Because I can ask him right here if you wanted to ask him the question. Just hang on 1 second, Pastor Jay. Let me see if I can get her question, because she did ask one before we leave. I want to make sure that we do that. Julie, you there? Okay. Well, Julie, if you want to put that question back in, because I was trying to grab Pastor Jay before he left, because I saw you had a question about meaning. So we can probably try to do that again. If you guys have questions, put those in the chat. I will wrap them up and explain whatever it is that you have a question, so I can give it to Pastor Jay and he can give you that answer back, because I'm not really sure what you mean by the question of meaning. I'm not really sure what that means, but we'll try and address that next time. So thank you, Julie, for the question, and hopefully you can provide me clarity so I can give it to Pastor Jay and he can address that for you. Okay. All right, Pastor Jay, I think that was the only question, but she's not here at the moment to express the rest of it. So we'll just try it again, and then we'll grab their questions. Okay.
That would be fantastic. So I'll talk to you later.
All right.
You guys have a great day.
You guys take care too. God bless everyone. Take care.
Funny day. And I'm thinking, well, there's so many things I could work.
Sure.
Maybe there's something else. Those are live. Okay. Well, as you heard, I just finished with the wisdom with Pastor Jay, and we just did a little bit of Men Prefer Darkness. rather than light. And that was a really good talk, and I was glad that we did it. So tune in and enjoy it.